Thank you for joining us for another Super Is Natural in the Kingdom of God, where our goal is to help you assimilate into the Kingdom of God so that super can become natural in your everyday life. I'm Corey Pritchard, just excited about being able to share another episode or another time with you. I know that, you know, as far as podcasting expectations, is that the norm is that you come in, you have a lot of fact-based information, or you have individuals that will come in, they want to share maybe more or less gossip topics where they bat ideas back and forth. They talk about the current times and all of those types of things. So with this is absolutely completely different. And the premise or foundation behind what it is that I'm doing is I want to give you timeless truths. I want to make sure that if I'm recording this message, say I'm recording at 9/25/2025, so I'm recording it in September, then I want to make sure that whether you listen to this today, tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years from now, is that the information that you're hearing today is that it has the ability to be able to transform your life. I don't want to give you something that's a fad, give you something that's passing, give you something that won't impact your life and won't help you for the future. So whenever you come back to this information, it should be able to produce the same exact thing that it's producing now. So when we are dealing with this reality, then again, I'm coming under this umbrella, which is super is natural in the Kingdom of God. And the premise behind super is natural is that when I look at the life of Jesus Christ, what I see is a man who is operating at a higher level, a much higher level than any other man has ever operated, but he made it look natural, right? He made it look completely easy, opening blind eyes without breaking a sweat, walking on water, casting out demons, prophesying about things that have already come to pass, doing all these wonderful things, and he never seemed moved. He never seemed excited. He never seemed surprised. He never had any of those things happen. So what I realize is that when I'm looking at the model of Jesus Christ, now I'm not telling you that Jesus Christ is your model. I don't know where it is that you're coming from as you're listening to this. So I'm not saying that Jesus is your model. What I'm saying is that the life of Jesus Christ is a model, right? And I choose to make it my model. So the reality is that if I am a disciple of Jesus Christ, which is a learner of Jesus Christ, right? And not just a learner as far as a book text learner, but I am a modeler, right? I am looking to be not only taught by Jesus Christ, but trained by Jesus Christ. So I'm modeling the principles that Jesus Christ has established and putting them to practice in my own life, right? And I can't do that without the Spirit of God. So I am relying on the Spirit of God to do that. But the expectation is no different than the disciples that sat at the feet of Jesus Christ as he was walking in ministry for those 3 years, is that I am expected to apply it and do it, okay? That is your expectation if you also have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. So if by chance you're coming on here and you have not heard the gospel of the good news of the Kingdom of God, I'm telling you, this is the most exciting news that you could possibly hear, knowing that God decided to manifest himself or bring himself and heaven into reality to make sure that the invisible became visible. So he created Adam and he breathed into the nostrils of Adam, the species of humanity, the breath of life. So now man becomes a living soul, right? For the first time. And God has this expectation that this species would have dominion, right? Have dominion on behalf of heaven. This is the good news, is that you are ruler, right? This is the way that we were created, to rule over this earth domain. Now, the nuance is what I'll say. I'm not going to call it bad. I'm just going to call the nuance in the story is that Adam transgressed and he forfeited or more or less declared independence from heaven. So with this independence he declares, now he's responsible for taking care of himself. Now, man is still to this day still doing his best to manifest or articulate or walk in this dominion right that God has given. Now, the challenge is is that man is doing it on his own. So he's having dominion on his own, right? Or he's having dominion on behalf of hell. But we were created, as far as humanity, we were created to have dominion on behalf of heaven. We were not created to have dominion on behalf of ourselves or on behalf of any or anybody or anything else. So the good news is that we have our King, which is Jesus Christ, this Elohim packed in human flesh. So Christ was born in Jesus, and he was born of a virgin, and we have the government that was on this baby, right? It is this reality that when we look at historically what has been presented about Jesus Christ throughout the Bible, then it's amazing to understand how much came in Jesus. But one of the things that came in Jesus Christ was the return of God's kingdom. It was a reconnection that allows us now to have dominion on behalf of God and heaven again, right? And we're equipped. So this is not a religion. No religion on the planet allows what God has provided in his kingdom. So the reality is that we are reborn. We are renewed, right? We are given the opportunity to become a brand new person, and we are identical to Christ. We look exactly like Christ as a spirit being, and now we can have the Spirit of God that can dwell within us and remain in us, and we are able to operate in all of these wonderful things that God has placed on the inside of us. These are assets like authority, assets like power, assets like grace, assets like mercy, assets like love, assets, all of these wonderful things that are packed on the inside of us. And God is expecting for those things to be released and manifested, right? So this is the good news, right? So Jesus Christ, he comes or came and he proclaimed or preached, repent, right? Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So the kingdom of heaven was there then, right? So if it was there then in Jesus, then you must know that it absolutely is here now in us. Okay. So if you are brand new to this, then you have the great opportunity to be able to repent, right? In response to the reality of God's kingdom. It should be a great joy and an excitement to know that you could enter into this kingdom, to know that you can repent and you can convert and you can enter into the kingdom of God. That is the great news that God has provided. And as a process or a part of the process to entering into God's kingdom, then we have to accept who Jesus is, right? And the beauty is that you don't have to be concerned about being forced into this kingdom. It is a reality that you can't come to the kingdom of God or come to Jesus unless you're drawn by the Holy Spirit. No man can get to the Father outside of through Jesus Christ, right? So you don't have to be concerned. Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the way and he is the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. So the reality is, if it's on your heart that you're drawn, being drawn to God, being drawn to the kingdom of God, and it appeals to you, then it's very likely that you are a sheep of God, and God comes to save the lost sheep, right? God sent Jesus Christ for the lost sheep, right? So there are sheep wandering throughout the entire planet and throughout history, looking for God, looking for the kingdom that Adam forfeited. And this is the opportunity that's being presented to you today. Okay. So if you have never done this before, you can confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So you say it with your mouth if you believe that he is Lord. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and Jesus Christ was also risen after 3 days. So do you believe that Jesus Christ was actually risen, that he actually died and that he was risen? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is actually the Son of God, right? Actually the only begotten Son of God, that the Elohim, the great God of all, is that he actually begot a son, right? Because the story is that this virgin birth came about because Mary actually conceived a child from the Holy Ghost. She actually was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that crazy to think about? So because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God, then what was conceived looks identical to God, right? So do you believe that? Do you believe in this virgin birth? Do you believe that God actually conceived this child, and this child is the Christ in Jesus? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he was crucified for our sins? He was crucified so that we can have access or regain access to the lost kingdom of God, right? Or forfeited kingdom of God. Do you believe that all the solutions and answers are in Jesus? Do you believe that he is owner and master and king, right? Not just over the people that say that he is his Lord and Savior, but that he actually is king over all. Even if men choose not to accept him, he's still reigning as king, right? So do you believe that? So if you do believe it, then the beauty is that now you can be prepared to receive God dwelling on the inside of you. And God wants to give the great gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. So confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he was risen from the dead and that he's the Son of God, right? So you do that and you ask the Spirit of Christ to dwell within you, right? Ask the Spirit of the Holy Ghost to dwell within you. Ask him to fill you, right? To fill your heart, to fill your soul. And this is what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So if you have done that, expect evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, speaking in tongues doesn't mean that you have or do not have something, but it is a natural native language for the kingdom of God. So tongues are natural for us, and it restores a spiritual language so that you and your Father will be able to communicate with each other on a higher level, right? So if you haven't done that, right? So you can just begin to speak and begin to be able to speak in this language that you may not understand. Right? So these are words that are not necessarily for you, they're for God, but I do want to make sure that I'm speaking them so that you can hear a language that you may not have heard before, so that you can expect to speak in a language. So it may or may not sound exactly the way I spoke it. It may or may not sound like someone else's, but it will be a language that you and your Father will be able to speak in, and you'll see that you have a higher level of revelation or receiving, a higher level of knowledge. Your communication intimacy begins to go to another level. So expect that to happen for you, right? So you being filled with the Spirit of God and speaking with tongues, again, this is natural. You being reborn on the inside of you and becoming a new spiritual being, now looking exactly like Christ, that is natural, right? These things are not unnatural. These things are what? Natural and normal in the kingdom of God. So as we're dealing with these things, then I want to make sure that you understand that you don't have to wait for a progression or maturity in order for you to begin to flow and operate like Christ, right? Flow and operate like Christ did in Jesus. So the reality is that when Jesus Christ called his disciples, he told them this simple thing. He commanded them this simple thing, right? Follow me, right? And it's amazing to see the simplicity of him telling his disciples to follow him. And they began to leave their jobs in many cases, right? They began to follow Jesus and began to follow him and model him full time. So in that, you would think that maybe it would take, you know, years or decades for them to begin to operate like Jesus Christ, but that's not true, right? He says to them, he has given them power against unclean spirits, right? Now, what does this power do? What does this power against unclean spirits do? It allows them to be able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, right? It allows them to be able to cast out devils. It also allows them to be able to raise the dead, right? These are the things that Jesus Christ demonstrated. He also commanded them to, right, delegated the authority that he has and the power that he worked in to his disciples. And they had the same testimony, right? They had the same things happen that he was doing in his ministry, right? So the expectation that you should have as a disciple of Jesus Christ is that you lay hands on the sick as an expectation. You tell sickness, go in the name of Jesus Christ. You look at a physical body and you command it to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. You tell a devil or a demon, it has to go. You tell it to go in the name of Jesus Christ, and it has to leave, right? You see someone that dies prematurely, and you tell them to rise in the name of Jesus Christ. You command their spirit and their soul to return into their body, and you tell them to rise again, right? Raise up. And in the kingdom of God, the way that Jesus Christ describes it, raising from the dead is supposed to be as simple as telling someone to wake up from a nap. Okay, now that's the way it's supposed to be. So with that being said, this recording, the remainder of this time, I'm going to spend building up hope, right? Now, me personally, I may have had somebody raised from the dead, but I'm not totally sure if I did. Okay, so what I'm going to do is let you know that there are certain things that have happened in my life. I expect you to have much greater exploits, much greater things than I can even imagine. But I do want to share with you, what has happened through me and for me, right? So one account, when I'm saying to you that I'm not sure if I did, but it's possible. But what happened was I actually lived in Louisville, Kentucky, and I lived on a street. And that street was near a major thing. I'm not going to get into great detail about it, but there was a lot of traffic in this area. And I had a neighbor who, at that time, I didn't realize it, but he was actually strung out on heroin. He was a heroin addict. And he actually had a mother who I believe was possibly in witchcraft. She was bent over. She was very skinny, right? She just had a lot of things going on with her body, which let me know, I believe she was probably involved in some dark things, right? So this was her son. We called him Walker because he would literally walk the street, up and down the street all day, every day, always walking up and down the street. And this young man, his that we call Walker, I'm not going to say his name, but we reference him as Walker. He would come by my house from time to time, and we had conversations. We were actually really good friends. And he never really let on exactly what he was into, but based on his behavior, I have a notion of what he was into. Well, one day, this young man I call Walker came by my house, and he wasn't feeling well, right? He had a cold or something that was coming on him. And all I did was just simply, you know, in our conversation, I just asked if you would like for me to pray for you. And he said yes. So I prayed for him and didn't think anything about it. And later on that day, or maybe within a few days, then another neighbor that I didn't even meet, he was actually a few doors down. He came and knocked on my door. He knocks on my door and he tells me that his wife is in a coma and that he wants me to come pray for her. Now, keep in mind, I've never seen this man before in my life. And he looked like an Indian descent, you know, or Native American descent gentleman. And I'm like, OK, well, I'll do that. I don't really know who you are. He said, well, he mentioned this guy's name that we call Walker. He said he had come to my house and he let me know that you had prayed for him. I guess this happened sometime in the conversation in the past. So great. I said, OK, well, let me know where where the hospital is, where that is. And he said, well, let me make sure that the timing is going to be right. So don't come until I tell you to come. OK, so I immediately went and I got my anointing oil at that time, okay, because I was looking at using anointing oil. I had a little book that I was using, which was a Charles Capps book that I had confessions that were in, and I went ahead, packed up my stuff, and I went to the hospital. So when I got to the hospital, then this guy, he met me and he told me to wait in the waiting room. He says, "No, you can't come in yet. I need you to wait." So didn't know what that was about. It was a little bit of secrecy. It seemed like it was going on. So after a little while, less than an hour, he comes to the waiting room. He tells me, you can come in. The time is good. So I go into the waiting room. And what I see is this woman, I'm telling you, easily 500 pounds. Now, I don't know, you know, how much more or less than she was, but she was easily 500 pounds. She was probably the biggest woman that I can recall seeing myself. OK, and she's laying under a hospital gown. OK, she had this hospital gown that's more or less stretched over her, and she's laying there and her thighs are bigger than bigger than my head. Like, she's just a really, really big woman. So she's unconscious. And this guy says, OK, you know, more or less go for it. And I had never seen this amount of faith before, because he's not hoping that she would rise up. He's not hoping that it will work. He came to my door knowing that she would be healed. That's the kind of faith that he had. And he came to get me from the waiting room knowing that I would pray a prayer of faith that would raise his wife up. That's the type of faith he had. Now, I had never done this before, right? So he looks at me like, go for it, you know? So I'm saying, okay, let me do what I do, right? So I open up my little book and I read a couple of verses, right? I don't know if it's more for her or for him, right? Or whatever it is, or for me, but I read these couple of verses, take my oil, you know, put a little bit of oil on my hand, and then I place my hand on her body and I command her body to be healed, right? I tell it to be healed and I tell her to rise up in the name of Jesus Christ, right? Something like that. So I've done that, you know, and this guy, he tells me, thank you. And again, this is not a hope. You can tell he knows that his wife is going to be healed. He's done with it. So I get back into my car. I go back home. And the next day he comes to my door and he knocks on my door and he says that, well, my wife's family has come in. They don't really agree with, you know, with me, her and I mean, that we haven't really had a good relationship before in the past. So they didn't want me to be there in the hospital, really. OK, so the reason why I had you wait is because they didn't really want me to be there. It would have been odd for you to come in. So I had you wait. So he says that what they've decided to do is to take her off of life support. So she's either dead or she's going to die. Right. So the first thing I look at him and say is like, I don't understand this conversation because the only thing I can see is raise up. I don't see anything else. The only thing I can see is health and healing. I don't see anything else. I have no other image. So when he tells me about this life support being plugged and she's probably going to die, unplugged and she's probably going to die, it doesn't make any sense to me. So I take the information. I don't have anything to say about it. I just say, thank you for the information, right? So he goes on about his way. And I believe it was another day or two later, right? So he knocks on my door again. And the first thing he says to me is that my wife is mad at me. I'm saying, no, hold on. The last time we talked, the family is unplugging his life support and you telling me that your wife is going to die. Now you're telling me your wife is mad at you. How is she going to be mad at you because she's dead? So he says, no, she's not dead, right? She's alive. So he said that when I went back to the hospital, that she actually woke up, right? So she became conscious, right? So she regained her conscious. And he said that the first thing that she said was that she was upset with him. So the reason why she was upset is because they made a pact. She made him promise that if she died or was near death, that he would not have anybody come pray for her. That was what he promised, right? And he violated that promise. So to come to find out, this was a woman who had prayed for many people in her life. She had operated in great exploits of faith in her life, seen a bunch of people healed. Something happened in her life where she got sick and she wasn't healed and she couldn't figure out what it was. When the great deep depression began to go into, overeating and all of those types of things. So she found herself in this position that she never thought that she would find herself in. So she said that if she dies, do not bring me back. I am ready to go, is what she said. So he violated her will. Now, that was crazy for me, right, to have that experience and all of it, right, again, was not strange to him. It seemed normal to him, seemed natural to him, but it was very new to me. So long story short is that less than a week later, I ended up going to her funeral. She did die, right? I went to the funeral. He was very happy to have me at the funeral. He wanted me to be there in support of him. And it was a crazy thing, right? So I would love to say the story said that she lived, but it did not. She did not want to live. She did not want that. She was ready to go on, right? So another story is I had my son. We were traveling from Ohio, and we came into a family member's house. I brought my son into a family member's house. He was asleep. And when he was asleep, they had all of these red spots that were all over his body because we were driving in the dark. We came in the dark. So when we brought him into the light, right? We see all these red spots all over his body. And the individual whose place we went to, they immediately began to get into fear, right? I can see it building up and they were about to start saying a bunch of crazy stuff. So I said, no, you need to be quiet. So I said, be quiet. And I immediately rebuked at that time. Again, these are different ways of looking at it. I rebuked these red spots. So I told the red spots to leave in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And that was where I was at with it. I didn't put any thought into it. I just immediately released faith and I commanded those red spots to leave. And I'm telling you, within a matter of seconds, I saw the red spots all begin to fade away and completely leave, every single one of them within a matter of seconds. And I'm just telling you, my wife was standing there, right? And this individual was there. This is just the reality of what it was. I actually had my daughter. This is, you know, sometime later. That was my son, which is older. My daughter, my middle daughter, my oldest daughter, she had these red spots in the pit of her elbows, right? At that time, I didn't realize it, but I believe now it's probably eczema, that she had this red irritation in the pits of her elbow. And what she would do is she would try to rub herself up against the car seat to try to get some comfort and try to itch, you know, this spot. So we were out to eat with family, and I brought her in, and the carrier set her down. And as everybody was eating and conversating, talking, I saw her moving and kind of twitching around right in this car seat. So I knew that she was trying to get comfort for this red, this irritation. And I had seen it before, you know, and I was done with it right at that point. I was very irritated that she had to deal with that. I felt like it was a violation of her rights. So right there, right at the table, under my breath, I leaned down and looked at my daughter, and I looked at the redness in her the elbow pits, and I commanded it to go in the name of Jesus Christ. So in the name of Jesus Christ, I said, go, you go. I said, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, this is stuff I'm telling you. This is absolutely mind blowing, because these are new experiences for me that within a matter of seconds, absolutely within less than 2 minutes, then all of the redness was gone. That complete irritation in her elbow pits was gone. It was gone within a matter of a couple minutes, and it never returned. She never had that again. And I remember a time where that same daughter was in the bathtub, and I remember she had something going on with her ear, and she kept complaining about whatever this ear irritation that she had. And I believe it was possibly either a ear infection or coming on to be an ear infection. So same thing. I didn't think about it. I just went ahead and just commanded that it be whole. I commanded that it be whole in the name of Jesus, that whatever it is going on her ear, that it go in the name of Jesus Christ and she be healed, just like that. And again, it's all gone. Like, everything is gone. I've seen my youngest daughter. She had all kinds of spots, all kind of weird stuff that she had on her body. We commanded that to be gone. It completely went away. My son had some weird stuff going on. I'm not sure what the heck he had going on, but he was acting odd, and we could tell that something was just weird about his behavior. And I remember getting him nearly the middle of the night. My wife and I, we confronted him, and we cast out a demon, right? Is what we did, is that we cast out a demon. We commanded that demon to go. Of whatever the demon was, we said, go. And in the name of Jesus Christ, and that dude like spit up some stuff, right? Whatever it was, he spit up whatever it was, and that behavior left, whatever that behavior was. Had a similar thing happen with a friend of ours, son that stayed with us, and he had been acting really strange over a car. It was a little car, and he had this little car, and something happened to the car. He lost it, or somebody stole it, or whatever it was. He didn't have his car, and it's like he went into this deep depression. Little kid, probably like 2 years old, 3 years old, something like that. And he started to just go into a deep depression. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't do anything, right? And I remember laying him on the bed, and I think I had given him a bath, and I laid him on the bed, and I just spoke to his body, and I told his body to be healed in the name of Jesus. I think he had some weird stuff going on with his body also, and this strange behavior. And it was amazing, because he went from there. That's what it was. He was doing potty training, and he wasn't potty training correctly. Shortly after that, within a couple minutes, he went and jumped on the toilet, which is funny, used the bathroom on the toilet. And then I saw him leaning over, and then he's spitting into the toilet. It's like some phlegm or whatever it was, that he's spitting out this stuff, spitting it out in the toilet as he's sitting on the toilet. I'm telling you, that within 10 minutes, he was a totally different kid. And it's like something had lifted off of him. And now he was able to continue and to be a normal kid, have fun. He ate a meal right away and all those types of things. And there's so many more stories, right? So I know now that I have to share these great testimonies because they build hope. So what I want you to understand is that miracles are still happening. God has not gone away. God wants it to happen for you, but he wants you to be used to be able to do great things, right? To allow heaven to manifest here on earth through you. So I look forward to seeing you on another Super Is Natural in the Kingdom of God. Again, our goal is to help you assimilate into the Kingdom of God so that super can become natural in your everyday life.